Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting gives you big savings and billing clarity for mobile phone service. Try their online savings calculator and save $50 on your device purchase at Ting.com/Android.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 53, recorded on Monday, March 26, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And today, we're going to be discussing web apps, root and ROM advice. Jason, I think you're, are you still talking about the Sony PU?
The Sony tablet PU? Unfortunately, I still have to talk about
it.
Okay, I guess we'll talk about it a little bit.
And our guest today is Kevin Purdy, author of the newly redesigned The Complete Android Guide. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
And you know what today is?
It's a special day. It's a special day here at All About
Android. It's very special. We have a cake here, thankfully, and big thanks to Chad. Oh my God, Chad, who got us this because it's our year anniversary. And we didn't even think about getting a cake.
We didn't even think about it. Chad's the best.
Like, what?
Walked over to the set. I'm like, what is a cake doing on the set? Why is there a green cake on the set?
Because baked goods are not. We've had cupcakes post-show before. So I wasn't surprised when I saw a cake. But then I remembered when we were talking about it some other time.
We were talking about the date.
The date. And sure enough, today is our one-year anniversary.
For the official,
show. Official,
not counting the betas. Wow, that's crazy.
I know. And Kevin was one of our first guests on a beta episode way back when. So thank you for the support. Yep. From the beginning.
You were there before, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's one of those things where it feels like just yesterday we started, and then it also feels like 10 years ago. Like, it feels like so long, but also so short. So that's good. That means you're doing it right. That's good.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Here's to another year, another 5 years.
Yes.
Another
so 10 years. Another as a cake. Reward of finishing the show, another great show, we will cut the cake at that time.
Yeah, well, yes, exactly.
At the end, yeah.
We'll just be looking at it.
We'll blow the candle out. We have a candle. We have fire.
We have fire? Yes, we have fire.
It's going to tease and taunt us throughout the show.
A lovely green cake, green fondant. Yeah, so there we go. Very excited.
And this is actually really nice to have this here because if things get a little tense in this episode, one of us could easily just reach down and...
I didn't think about that. I thought it was a no cake for you if you continue to behave this way. I took a much more childish look.
I see. Yeah, yeah. That works too. We'll see which one wins out at the end.
All right. Well, let's dig in. Let's get into our news.
So you may have heard HTML5 was a hot topic of a recent joint survey by IDC and AppCelerator last week. In particular, they found that of the 2,173 developers queried for the study, 79% of them intend to integrate HTML5 into their apps this year. And that's either partially or completely replacing standalone apps, and even further in the Android ecosystem. Developer interest in Android, supposedly, based on the study, dropped from last year's 87% figure to 79%, while interest in Android tablet development dropped from 74% to 66%. Is this a continuous trend or nothing to worry about?
I don't know because it's like, it's funny because I was talking to a developer friend of mine who, and we were talking about HTML5, and I've been very bullish on HTML5 for years now. I mean, like, we've done a lot of stuff with that. And pretty much you can develop an app that works in HTML5 out of the Chrome browser on Android that works just as good as the standalone apps. And there's been Kevin, I'd love to hear what you think of this, but I've had a lot of ongoing arguments with developer friends versus building within an either iOS or Android ecosystem versus building HTML5 apps where you build it once and it works on all devices. You know, or it's optimized for mobile, and it doesn't matter whether it's iOS or Ice Cream Sandwich or whatever.
Right, like the Gmail app for iPhone is basically just iOS-friendly shell around an HTML5 view of Gmail. So and that would be great for a lot of apps. Instagram could have been on Android faster if they just kept a HTML5 idea going instead of, you know, having to get all the skills necessary to do Android. So I kind of agree with Ron. I don't see it as like a bad note necessarily that more people are into it.
I mean, and the thing is HTML5 has been built in a way that it's the biggest upgrade to the HTML coding spec that has been in years, and it incorporates audio and video. It incorporates much better control, use of JavaScript and control over where things can be placed. You can just do better applications with HTML5, period. And if you go back, actually, if you look on the Apple side of things, remember when the iPhone came out and Steve Jobs said, no, you can make them and they work in Safari. Mm-hmm. That was that original vision.
That was the original idea. For
and
sure,
then they, you know, lightning in a bottle with iTunes and with the iOS platform and making apps. And then Android somewhat is replicating that. But that was the original vision of Apple. And I don't think that was far off. It's just I don't think the technology was there yet. But now it is.
Yeah, it should right. definitely be noted that AppCelerator, one of the, you know, kind of entities putting on the survey, certainly has a lot to gain by promoting HTML5 because they, I guess, develop, you know, kind of development platforms for that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree with you guys. I don't necessarily think that it spells this quote unquote doom and gloom for the Android ecosystem. HTML5 isn't necessarily at a point right now where you could write for it and it works on anything that's HTML5 capable necessarily. I think maybe eventually we'll get there, hopefully. But right now it does, I don't know, it allows you to kind of extend things and maybe, I don't know, possibly future-proof yourself a little bit?
Yeah.
If what you're worried about is, you know, what they say is the whole fragmentation thing, that this is a way around it, maybe this is a way around it.
I mean, if you marry HTML5 with this idea of the, I always forget the term, the responsive web or the reflexive web or whatever it is, this idea where... Responsive web where you can code a page and it will optimize based on whatever the device is. And so, like, the elements will collapse to fit into a mobile browser, or they'll spread out for a tablet, or they'll spread out on a laptop. And that's, you know, when developers are coding that way, it's truly truly device agnostic.
Mm-hmm. I think like a political survey, I think it depends a lot on the question. Because what it kind of sounds like is the question is, are you interested in doing a full-flight Android app, or are you maybe interested in doing an app that has some HTML5 baked in? And who's going to say, you know, I'm totally ignoring HTML5.
Right.
I hate that stuff. You know, the stuff that everyone loves. It depends on how you ask the question, I think.
Yeah, HTML5 has no place whatsoever in my future at all, ever. And I'm 100% convinced of that. Like, you're right. No one's going to totally say that.
No, I don't
I just
think
love
so.
Java more than anything.
That's all I'll ever need.
That's right.
All right. Well, moving on. The Galaxy Note ICS upgrade got pushed back to Q2, but there will be an exclusive set of stylus-ready apps. So get ready, Tony Wang.
Consolation prize.
And Leo Laporte. You're going to have better apps or a couple of extra goodies when you get your ICS update.
They're really pushing this. I'm seeing billboards.
I'm seeing
and
the Samsung
like,
Note
everywhere. On buses, I saw
it. I'm seeing it, you know, during commercial breaks. Very, very popular shows. So I think they're doing pretty well, actually. To me like they are.
I'll be honest. There have been times where I've been trying to do something on my phone where I'm like, you know, if I had a stylist, this would be easier.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
It's coming back.
Maybe.
I know.
Yeah.
I actually just recently bought a stylus. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Well, we'll get to why later.
Right? I know. We'll get to why later. But
I think I know why.
Kevin, what do you think of the note?
It's for my note-taking.
Have you guys ever seen one in the wild?
The note? Yeah, we have. Yeah. Well, but we kind of work in a bubble,
we work
right?
in the wild,
so
apparently.
So Leo owns
the
one.
Confines of the palace. But
right. Outside of the confines of the palace?
Well, I saw a bus with an advertisement on the side of it. Does that count? Or
I think I have seen one.
Three-dimensional Galaxy Note outside of the palace.
No, actually, I haven't.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Well, anyway, good luck. We don't know when exactly, but it is just scheduled for Q2. So.
Interesting. So a little story about Microsoft. That's always interesting. And actually,
this one's weird.
It's a weird story, so bear with me. It's coming from Android Central, so to give them the credit here. But apparently, there was a competition that an Android user felt as if Microsoft screwed him a little. And so Microsoft has decided to make good after it. And Android Central reports, ever heard of Microsoft's Smoke by Windows phone competition? Mm-hmm. They provide a task and challenge users of other phones to do it faster on their non-Windows phone device. I'm going to butcher this name, but Sahas Kata armed with his Galaxy Nexus. His challenge was to bring up the weather of two different cities. His device already had two weather widgets targeting two cities on the home screen, and a lock screen bypass setup would allow him to smoke his Windows Phone counterpart. Microsoft then denied him the prize, a $1,000 custom laptop, because of a rule that they never specified in advance the cities in different states. So after a little bit of PR back and forth, Microsoft has finally decided to give him the prize to the winner. And I believe we have his latest tweet that talks a little more about it. We can pull that up there where it says, "Hey, Sahash Kata, Microsoft Store, I want to make things right. So I've got a laptop and phone. Apology for you. Email me." So
they also made him as he was leaving the store after setting up this genius widgets on his phone. Yeah. They made him stand in front of a sign that says, "My Android was smoked by Windows Phone." And so, like, someone in marketing at Microsoft said, "You know what's a really good strategy? Humiliation.
Yep.
This will make people want to buy Windows Phone. Is if we take a picture of them at their lowest moment." And then tell them, like, "Oh, by the way, Windows Phone's a great platform."
Yep.
And this picture on the article from Android Central, that's our friend Phil Nickenson.
He was on last week.
Yeah, he was on our show last week. I was like, "Wait a minute, that's Phil."
Oh, you're right.
That
is so weird. Why did they use that?
Well, he wrote the article.
Oh, so that makes sense then. Oh, okay. I thought it was another thing.
You're like, I thought they're making fun of
Phil. It all makes sense now. Okay, there we go.
So that's him getting smoked by Windows Phone.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So
I did air quotes, by the way. Sorry, audio.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. We had plenty of those on last week's show. I think it's becoming a thing that we do.
All right. And finally, Google I/O registration is tomorrow, March 27th at 7 a.m.
Pacific time.
Pacific
time.
I hope we get to go, too.
From 700 to 702 a.m.
Yeah, it's notorious for selling out quickly. It's also pretty pricey. So if you're
$900 this year.
Because it's 3 days this year too.
Yes, that's true.
Keep in mind, $900. I mean, you guys walked away with tablets, and
you're gonna get good swag.
I
think there's gonna be the whatever Nexus tablet or whatever tablet it will be. I think that will be one of them. We're talking about possibly those goggles that everybody's been obsessed with.
The true Google goggles.
That'd be awesome. I don't know. Maybe a phone. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we had a great time last year, and we hope to go again next year or this year.
Yeah, so
we're crossing our fingers that we can.
I'm just going to go hang out in the lobby.
Are you?
Like right before security.
Just say, can I swap with you? Can you have your tag?
Exactly.
$50 for a tag for the day.
You're going to be an IO thug waiting for someone to walk out with their new Nexus tablet.
Hey, are you not coming back? You're not coming back tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Give me your badge. It's cool. Come on. It's cool.
I could be you.
I promise I'll get you whatever device they give away for free. I promise.
No, we can't say that. That does happen at these conferences, though. I mean, GDC just happened, and I had a bunch of friends like, "Hey, do you know anybody who's not going to GDC today?" Like, the badge swap. So, we'd be surprised if you see me and I'm saying, "Listen, call me Steve." All day, I'm Steve.
Hey, Steve.
They can't know.
All right, Steve. Well, I guess we're going on to email.
Yeah, let's take this email. Eddie Bittner of Georgetown writes in and says, "I have a Samsung Galaxy S to skyrocket on AT&T. I've rooted and installed ROM Manager. Now I want to install a new ROM. There are so many flavors of the Galaxy S2 that it's making it impossible for me to find the right one. I've read that you can use the Skyrocket ROM for T-Mobile, then read you can't, but you can use the regular Galaxy S2 for AT&T ROM. It goes back and forth, driving me crazy. If I flash the wrong ROM with ROM Manager, will it brick my phone?" It's kind of a hard question to answer. I don't know what suggestions ROM Manager is giving you for your particular device. We'll get to it in a second. "Where can I find the right ROM for my phone? I always recommend, and I know I've said it in plenty of episodes in the past, go to XDA Forum. You can read up on the availability of ROMs for your specific device." So I actually linked to a post that's called "The All-in-One Location XDA Skyrocket General Info / Root Method, blah, blah, blah." And it basically has a pretty comprehensive list of the ROMs and just different things that you might want to do with a rooted device that you have. So you can probably feel pretty safe going into there and doing a little bit of reading on these, seeing how they're commented on, seeing what people think of them. And really, you're in the kind of position now where you can flash some of these things as long as you've made a full Nandroid backup. And that's really important. Make a backup of the installation that you know works right now so that you have it, so you can always revert to it. Then you can kind of play around and install some of these, give it a day or two and see what you think of them. That's kind of the fun of doing this type of stuff. He goes on to say, "Most important, when will my phone get some CyanogenMod love?" You might not find out, you know, that you really need CyanogenMod by checking out these other things, but CM9 has not yet been announced
for the Skyrocket. Doesn't mean it won't happen. I'm sure it'll happen eventually, but you also got to figure that CM9 really isn't out for many devices to begin with right now. They're kind of taking a slower response with the ice cream sandwich transition. But it's interesting that you write in and ask about this because just very recently, an ice cream sandwich build for the AT&T Galaxy S2 Skyrocket leaked. So if you want, you can go ahead and flash the leak. I'm hearing good things about it. Just, you know, like I said, do your Nandroid backup prior to doing this. Check out Ice Cream Sandwich. It's a supposed leak straight from the source. And see what you think of that. That's probably a really good way to kind of check out Ice Cream Sandwich on your device. And, you know, but just as with all these things, do the reading. Feel comfortable with it yourself before you decide to jump in the pool.
Or have a nice friend like my friend Dale.
Right. You have a mentor.
My mentor, Dale.
Sensei.
Yes, my sensei.
You see, I mean, this email is the kind of the reason why I shy away from it, because it's just so, you know, like it's so overwhelming in terms of the options and the configurations and all that. And like, especially when you're getting into what ROMs work with different carriers and all that sort of stuff. It's just like, and I mean, me 7 years ago,
the guy who wanted to
open up my TiVo and expand the hard drive by himself one weekend, that probably would. Me now, who's constantly on the go and working all the time, stuff like that, I just need it to work. And so I don't, you know, so, but if I totally respect it that you guys have done it. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. So it's good. At least there are resources for them to find.
Sure.
All right.
All right. Let's go to hardware.
Hey, guess what? There is a new Toshiba tablet. It is 13.3 inches. It's got ICS and it has a TV tuner. What?
It has a little antenna. Look up in the upper right hand corner.
That's there's a little TV tuner. Now, it's got all, you know, it's Tegra 3 quad core, blah, blah, blah. It's got all the SIM card, you know, a micro SD card, all that stuff. But let's just talk about the tuner for a little bit.
That's so cool.
Because honestly, this to me, you know, if you've got LTE with it, hello, cord cutters.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And you've got your over-the-air.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. Yeah. I was kind of thinking, wow, maybe this is what I need to finally cut the cord. Or, I mean, apart from HBO. But this is interesting.
Here's the antenna.
There it is.
Don't snap it off.
See, here's the thing. So it's an HD antenna, right? HD TV. So you would get like Fox and ABC. Well, it's got to be. Why would they put an antenna in with a TV tuner that's not an HD? I mean, that would. Well, because the point I'm making is that, like, because I'm a cord cutter and I have an HD antenna at my house, in my apartment, and I feel like I'm stealing. Like, when I watch the Oscars and it looks in full HD, and there's no reason why you can't take this in. I'm surprised this hasn't happened already.
I know.
Like,
I
that's
know.
The kind of. That's my point, is that this is so cool. And as a TV person, you're totally right.
I think that's why we're so excited. We watch so much TV. Exactly. We're like, oh my God, another way to watch TV for free.
Yeah.
I wish they'd shown an app or something, but they didn't.
And it's not even an intrusive antenna. It looks like an old radio antenna.
Well, I wonder if it breaks very easily.
I was going to say, it looks a little fragile. Yeah. Got to be careful, obviously.
It looks like Jonathan Ives' worst nightmare, too.
Yeah, that's
there it is.
Absolutely.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's very. It's like an old radio. It's an old Radio Shack radio antenna.
I don't know, Kevin. What do you think? Is this the next wave of tablet sensation?
Web is like free. You forget about the $700 up front. And I get that. But if you were going to buy a tablet anyways,
then
you're not going to pay. Well, anyways.
Short answer, no. long answer for, you know, interesting content. I don't know. Over-the-air HD is so good when it works and you get all four channels. And then, you know, when you don't, it's very frustrating.
Oh, yeah. It's very much line of sight. It's very, I mean, as I found the hard way, because my apartment faces away from Sutro Tower in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So I can't get half the channels.
Yeah.
I get the other channels that face towards my building.
My old apartment, it was a fight between 30 Rock and Lost. Like Thursday night, Lost, you know, and then back to 30 Rock, and it's really not exactly an optimum.
Yeah.
You know,
but when it snaps in place, and let's say, like, what I'm thinking about here is that, like, I don't have kids and I'm whatever, but I'm like, I've got kids, they've got a soccer game on Sunday, and I'm stuck outside for hours, and there's a baseball game on. Right?
Oh, yeah.
This is great. I can get one of those foldable chairs and just sit on the sidelines and watch a baseball game while my kid's playing soccer and be dad of the year. That sounds like a good plan.
And you're not really watching. You're watching.
Well, at least I'm there. At least I showed up.
All right. Well, there's your new concept. But
there you go. I don't know. It's nifty. Larger size.
little tiny little broken antenna.
I like it.
Assuming it'll
but you
be
just
broken
add some, you just add some tinfoil and it'll be fine. It'll yeah. be fine. It's fine. Once it breaks, you just put some tinfoil on the back of that.
Yeah, it should come. It should ship with like a coupon for Reynolds Wrap.
Right.
All right, so Sony is continuing on its Android 4.0 update crusade, pinning down spring updates for the Tablet P, the Tablet S. So we're going to be seeing this sometime by the end of April, they're saying. I would be curious to see
we
if that happens.
Air quotes going on yeah. sometime in April.
Yeah, April.
Ice cream said, I mean, that would really put Sony, I mean, at this point, who's come out with the official ice cream sandwich? No one yet, right? It's kind of like a race, aside from the Galaxy Nexus, obviously, and the Nexus S. There haven't been any other manufacturers really coming out with ice cream sandwich.
Only one Nexus S, not the Sprint Nexus S. So.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like, well, okay, and aside from some tablets and stuff that
Prime.
Are releasing with them, mm-hmm. when you're talking about phones.
Official, yep. right?
Yeah, phones. I'm trying to think if there's been an official. Yeah, everybody's saying Transformer Prime. Yes. HTC Vivid. Okay, I knew there was an HTC phone of some sort that got it. So they were the first. So really, Sony could be very early to the game at this point, even though early to the game is, what, 7 months later? Anyways.
Right.
Sony also announced a Wi-Fi only version of the fantastically bad, in my opinion, Sony tablet P.
P-U.
Wow.
P-U.
It was bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
I actually enjoyed dealing with it just because it put me in check a little bit because I've reviewed the last few things that I've reviewed I've liked a lot. And I've been like, gosh, do I like everything that I get? And then I got this. I was like, okay, yeah. I'm cool. It's okay. There are bad devices out there that I can truly say I do not like. And this one was just uncomfortable, awkward.
It's sharp, right? Couldn't it hurt you? Like those edges were sharp. Right?
The edges are sharp. And what's weird about that is you'd say, oh, well, you know, maybe that's for long periods of time. No, like your palms go right into it immediately. So within like 5 to 10 seconds, you start feeling the pain.
That's what I like about my devices, the ability to break skin and cause bloodshed.
Yeah. So you can see the full review on Before You Buy here on the Twit Network. But yeah, not recommending you pay your money for the Sony Tablet P. I'll give them credit. They did something original, but it doesn't matter if original still sucks. You know what I mean? So anyways,
challenge.
So speaking of tablets, back at CES, there was some word from Acer of the Iconia Tab tablet, and they finally rolled out some specs and some details. So the Acer Iconia Tab A510 is running Android 4.0 on a 10-inch tablet with a 1280x800 display. Promises up to 13 hours of video playback because it has a giant battery. And it's running a Tegra 3 processor. And it's got the standard, you know, dual cameras, Acer's little Acer Ring pop-up launcher, the Polaris Office Suite. Interesting that it's coming with Office Suites and things like that. That's interesting. 32 gigs of internal storage plus micro SD card slot for up to 32 gig or more. And they have – and technically it's an Olympic edition. You saw that before there, the Olympic rings in the back celebrating Acer's sponsorship of the Summer Games. But it's available for pre-order now, and it's going to be selling for $449.99. Mm-hmm. So and no word when it's shipping. So, that got an O.
Are you excited about that, Kevin?
Yeah. Oh, this is an interesting price point, $450.
$450, yes.
Yeah.
But who knows when it's actually shipping, though. So.
It's like a P.F. Chang's dinner less than an iPad.
Exactly.
That much.
Wow. All right, moving on to email. This is an email I can somewhat relate with. This is from Brett. Has a Samsung Galaxy S and carefully rooted it last year. And his confidence grew as he installed various ROMs with no issues. Then, 3 weeks ago, I'm talking in Brett's voice, I thought I'd try... This is one of the ones that we said incorrectly. My UI.
Oh,
MUI.
What
was
MUI.
It?
MUI.
MUI?
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to send in another email. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, anyways. As I'd heard a lot of good things about it after using MUI... Did I say it right?
I think it's my UI, but that's how I've always said
it. Too. Anyway,
it could be my UI. I like MUI.
I know we figured it out at some point.
We get this wrong all the time. For
like,
a few hours.
Like GUI, MUI. That's what I thought. Yeah, but my UI, I can see that.
Right. Okay, fine. I decided to return to CyanogenMod. This is where it all went bad. After following the instructions step by step like I did, I ended up in a boot loop been there last night, then none of my Nandroid backups would install through recovery as I was getting memory card errors. I couldn't flash any ROMs. Man. I spent the next 2 days trying to fix it as all I kept reading was, quote, this phone is nearly impossible to brick, end quote. I had tried everything, but I was beaten. I finally flashed my carrier's version of software and returned it back to the store playing dumb, still in a boot loop. I received, good actor. I received it back two weeks later, stating they replaced the PBA under warranty, very relieved that I didn't have to buy a new phone. I'm still very interested in trying other ROMs, but just not game yet. I guess I will never know if I really bricked my phone or did the PBA just fail. For now, stock standard carrier software for me, bloatware, and all cause I'm scared it will happen to me again. Rooters, beware. So we had mentioned that you were like, we haven't heard any horror stories when I talked about rooting my phone last week. Yeah. Well, he went ahead and just,
And that's the thing. And then his reaction is exactly what I'm afraid of.
To
is
go
that
back and
you get burned once, and it's like, I don't want to do that again.
Well, Brett, I had that boot loop last night.
Boot loop.
I needed some help. Good old Dale to the rescue. We had to do a couple things like wipe the cache, blah, 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 flash it twice. Now, I used Cyanogen. I didn't use MUI, MIUI.
MIUI,
whatever.
MIUI.
I didn't use that one, but it's funny because... this has been like a 2 week process for me as well. And I mistakenly thought that after rooting my phone, I could just use ROM Manager immediately to flash a new ROM. But I had heard that, well, the first time you should use Clockwork Mod Recovery to do it. By that point, my phone was in boot loop as well. And then I was able to thankfully get it into Clockwork Mod Recovery anyways. And then what we did was we flashed it twice and then it all worked. But I think I might have had an older version of Clockwork Mod, and originally when I rooted the phone, the kernel that Dale gave me already had Clockwork Mod, and I wasn't paying attention to that, and so I went ahead and, you know, put it on myself again, and so I think maybe something crossed, and
you crossed the streams.
I might have, so that might have caused my issues. At this point in time, I'm fine. I have Cyanogen Mod 7.2 on my phone, and I decided not to go 9 because I was freaked out about the boot loop anyways, so I wanted something more stable, so I put 7.1 on, and then after being comfortable with it for and watching Mad Men for a couple hours, then I went ahead and put the latest 7.2 on it last night. And now I'm going to work with that for a week.
See, Ron, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, it's not that difficult.
And the thing is, exactly. See, it seems so simple. I don't understand why I've been hesitant. No, but I think one of the best things that you could do if you want to go down the modding route or those sort of things, if you're a tech guy, and I imagine a lot of us are like this way, but one of the best skills I've learned by working in computers since I was, you know, like a teenager or whatever, is troubleshooting.
Yeah.
Is being able to understand, okay, I took these four steps to where I am, so let me roll back one, let me roll back another, let me replicate, let me see what happens. And that skill and being able to, like, break it down into the steps like you did allows you to find the point where, okay, I need to fix this, or, oh, absolutely, wait, I have the wrong version, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So, I think most phones are still pretty unbreakable, but that's I think they're unbreakable if you have a Dale like Eileen does, or if you have unlimited time to do site:xga-developers.com searches on Google.
Oh, right.
I think if you have unlimited patience, time, and a Dale, I think you can. There's no way you can usually brick most phones. You find some upload mode that you didn't know about, or you find that, you know, like you said, Clockwork Mod Recovery was you needed a different version of it, but. You know, for some people, there's a breaking point where they won't do it anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, that's actually a really good kind of point that you're bringing up that I hadn't really thought of. Is bricking your perception? Like, is bricking a phone just the point that you reach where you're not willing to take it any further to really try and figure out why it's boot looping or whatever?
No.
Or is bricking actually pushing it beyond the point of recovery? Even no matter how smart the person
that's my
is
fear.
I would
working
think
with it.
So.
That's my fear. Yeah. Brick means that it is unsurvivable. Yeah. It is DOA, dead on the table.
I guess what I'm wondering is it really that common to make a change that is totally and completely unrecoverable whatsoever? Yeah. Like, did the emailer, what's
Brett?
That? Brett. Did Brett send back his phone because it's bricked because he hit that point where it's like, you know what? I can't figure out why it's boot looping anymore. And so, you know, it's quote unquote bricked. There I go with air quotes again.
I feel like we need another term for that. Because
Beyond.
It's like foam bricked.
I don't know.
Where it's like, it's not a real brick.
I would guess that it's pretty difficult to truly completely break your phone.
Yeah, I read a couple articles that were sent to me when I was like, oh no, what's happening? Soft brick.
Yeah, but, soft brick. Okay. Well, I think Dale is onto something with this idea of a digital Sherpa.
I know. He needs to charge me soon.
This is a great... are you talking over email?
We're talking on Google Talk.
Google Talk. Wow.
Because he follows me on G+, so now he's got my... So I'm just like, hey, Dale, so what's going on? And he's like, okay, now do this. And,
Digital Sherpa.com.
Can you please tell him not to go walking after dark by himself? Because his name is Dale. Spoilers.
Spoiler. but just overall, just really quickly, I'm loving Cyanogen. And we were laughing before the show, because there is a funny video from the Verge cast that talks about this. They got a caller who loves TouchWiz, whatever. And the point of the whole thing, the punchline was that the ladies love the TouchWiz. And no, that's not true. But there was one app that I did think I might miss, which was the dialer, which was part of that whole video joke. I thought I would miss the dialer. Yeah. But no, I don't. I love that my phone is now clean and it's snappy.
And the bloat is gone.
You know that stupid all-share app that never worked? Oh, my God. And so many of those gaming apps that were loaded on here that don't work, it's all gone.
Once you get a clean phone, it's hard. That's why I was talking the other night about why I don't go to Verizon's, because I don't want all the bloat. Like, I just want a clean install to work off of.
So. I love everything here. It's great. I'm enjoying it. So I'm going to stick with 7.2 for a while. I am glowing a little bit. I'm going to stick with this for a little while before I move up to 9. That's just me. I need to just kind of play with it for a while. And I'll back up. I'll have all my backups just in case. And I know, wipe the cache, anyways.
You're learning.
All that stuff. I'm learning.
Yeah, you are. And now you will be... You'll become the master.
You are going to be a Dale someday. You'll become
a digital Sherpa to someone. See, there you go.
No way. I can give back. Yep. But not yet. Don't come to me for advice yet. That would be really bad.
All right. Let's move on to apps.
So is it actually news now?
Well,
yes, it's news.
I guess it is.
Now it is.
Yes, we've talked about
the embargo is lifted. We are allowed to talk about. We're allowed to say the app that shall not be named.
Although we haven't seen it yet. But Instagram did put up an open registration on their site for the new Android app. We talked about this off and on over the last many months.
Yep.
That's why I got tired of talking about it.
For some reason, and yet it's going to come out. And I'm going to get it. I'm going to rush to get it. And I'm going to use it for a week.
Yep.
And then I'm going to wonder, 2 weeks later, why I'm still not using it.
What the big deal is. Yeah, exactly.
But you're not really big into these kinds of social photography apps.
I guess not.
Yeah,
I try. It's just they don't grab me. But still, Instagram does have sign up on their page. You can sign up for it. I definitely did myself.
Have we all signed up for it?
No.
No? You haven't?
Well, I kind of already have it.
Oh, well, on iOS, not on Android. Yeah,
so I feel like I could port my existing...
I have it on
iOS, but I think I can just use my old account. I hope I can use
my
old account.
Yeah, if you can't, then they're doing something...
That would be weird, right? So I don't really need to sign up.
I have an account on iOS, it's just I don't use it.
So you're already signed up.
So I'm already on it. It's not like I don't have access, because I have an iPad and I have the iPhone app on the iPad. And there's a whole bunch of web people using the API to get, like, Webstagram and stuff like that. So I can get on Instagram. But from what they said at South By, what we didn't talk about was that apparently the Android version is going to be different than the iOS version. They're actually really excited about it. And
possibly better.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Very excited.
All right. So.
Maybe. Meh.
Meh. Indeed.
I'll use it.
Is that a meh too, Kevin? Meh?
I'd be interested to see if it really is better and how.
I think
just that you can share different apps than you could on iOS. Like you could send it to Dropbox or something. I don't know.
I think it's really the community and the numbers of people. Like if once it's just like anything, if you have a lot of people using a service, that's what makes it better versus another service that may have only like several thousand.
But I'll be curious what they do to the Android version.
Me too.
Because clearly they said we're excited about this over what we've been doing up to this point. And that could just be hyperbole and trying to drum up interest in it. But it sounds like it's not going to be a straight port from the iOS version. So, what did they do that we didn't think of? That's what I kind of... That'd be cool. I'd love to know.
Yeah.
So, moving on, in terms of an update in Google Wallet Gate, You might recall a couple of weeks ago there was some problems with the Google Wallet initial test with prepaid cards. There was a little security leak and a problem, and Google had to shut down the support of prepaid cards. Well, that is now fixed, and prepaid cards are now available again on Google Wallet. And to reward the users that got affected by that, Google has given everyone an extra $5 to their prepaid Google Wallet card that they initially gave them. So now they can get the money on the prepaid card plus $5.
Get a coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Just forget about it. Forget about it. $5. Go. And now we know how much Google values the users.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I wonder how much that really amounts to them. Like, how many people are actually using Google Wallet in the grand scheme of things?
And how many people were affected by this the prepaid card thing? And who knows?
Well, and I mean, not to mention, Google. This is less Android, more just Google, but they're reevaluating their wallet strategy.
Yeah.
to possibly kind of share that revenue with merchants, because it's a chicken and egg scenario, really, with Google Wallet, right? Because there aren't a whole lot of devices with NFC powered by Google Wallet, and there aren't a lot of merchants supporting Google Wallet because there aren't a lot of devices.
But when it works, it's awesome. Yeah. I saw it in the wild, to Kevin's point. I saw it in the wild, and it made me want it really badly.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before
I saw someone use it at a gas station nearby.
Yep.
Which was the least sexy way to see it, but just someone was paying for gas, and just went boop.
Yep.
And that was it. I was like, oh, Google Wallet.
It was Mark from FTW before we came up. We stopped at 7-Eleven, and he grabbed a drink and just plopped his phone on the pin pad that, where you mm-hmm. do your card, and it went beep, and we walked out. And like, that's my dream. I want to leave the gym and stop at a convenience store and grab a Snapple and not have to carry any money and just hit my phone. It works. Mm-hmm. So it just needs to get adopted.
Walk up to people, bop them on the head, go boop. Yep. There you go.
Well, staying along the lines of paying with your phone, maybe if Google Wallet does fail, maybe you would want to move over to Square. I've used a card case for a long time, and they just updated their app, and it is Pay for Square. The app itself is just called Square, and when you launch it, it's complete update. It definitely replaces card case. And Eric Burke, who was on our show at Android Open, sent me a note, and he says, yes, this replaces card case. This new app puts more emphasis on the merchant directory, maps, and search rather than visually presenting an image of a wallet. This lays out more of a scalable framework for more features coming soon. And he also wanted everyone to know that they really backported the Holo UI to older Android releases, so users on Android 2.0 and up can use this latest app and see what they've done with it.
That's
so
nice.
That's pretty cool. It's actually more simple than it was. I don't know how to change my brightness since using Cyanogen. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to figure it. I know. I'm sorry. But now it's just as simple as this. There's a directory. You can get a map. You could favorite some places, and then you see your account. And when you open up a tab, it's pretty simple. You see your account. Now, you don't have to tap anything. You just say, hey, my name's Eileen Rivera, and hopefully they have their little Square register, and then you walk away. You're done. You don't have to touch anyone. You don't have to do anything. And then in this app, you could just see if the merchant has a tweet. You could see what what they've been tweeting out, what they like or whatever. I don't know. It's actually more simple, and then you can even share, with your merchant with various places. So I don't know. I mean, I am a big proponent. Oh, and also you can add a home screen shortcut. So I have done that with a place that I go to all the time, which is Acre Coffee. So now I don't have to.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So there.
That's
now it's just
cool.
Auto. Your tab is auto open, and you just launch it. You don't have to go into the app and then find it, and hopefully,
Because for most people, the merchant side of Square is pretty rare. I mean, unless you own a business or
you
a kind of mobile business, or you're doing a garage sale or something, you're not going to have the take money from people Square app installed. So it makes more sense to just make the app called Square as opposed to Card Case, which did kind of feel weird. And
it had
a slightly kind of Apple-y, what do you call it, look, where it's like leather and wood. And
oh,
stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of, yeah, I didn't like that.
But yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. I mean, the merchant, if you need the merchant services, you know what to get and you know how to do it. I mean, I actually have, it's funny because you say not a lot of people, a lot of my friends use it because a lot of my friends are artists or self-employed, or actually I have a friend of mine who has a retail store and his credit card machine broke and he just switched to Square and was seamless. But I got to admit, every time me as a customer uses Square, it is the most wonderful experience. Like, I buy something from somebody and I just, you know, they swipe my card, they find my, they're like, oh, do you want me to email you your receipt? Like, it's, you know, like, it's so easy to track my purchases in this app, and little subtle things in the design. Mm-hmm. Like, it was interesting to hear what he was, when we talked to him at the Android mm-hmm. conference, like, I was just playing with it now, you know, so you look at a, of course now it's gonna take forever to load, but you look at a business, right? And just going back to the main screen, that fade out, I don't know if you saw it, but see that just subtle fade?
Subtle fade, yeah.
Like, that's just that's nice. Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's just smooth. I like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's the best designed app for Android, period, for me.
Yeah.
I don't,
wow.
Even just the buying side. Yep. Even as a merchant, it's a really, really nice app.
Hmm. So congrats to the Square
and
team.
I just
for
almost inadvertently paid Pilates with Anne. I didn't stop it, but that was close.
We'll go get your free class right after the show.
You got to give Square props for making it work in light of kind of the pressures surrounding them as far as NFC is concerned, and they still are completely doing great. You know, there's a lot of people.
They're one of my favorite startups. They're serious. Like when they initially came out, and I got that little dongle, and I'm like, I could take a credit card if my buddy owes me money. Sold.
I should just make one quick clarification. Yeah. Bob Sterko in the chat room corrected me. It is not with the Google Wallet changes for revenue sharing. It is not with the merchants, if I implied that. It's with the carriers themselves. So the carriers would be cut into that. So just so that it's out there. But that is that. I think that's all the apps that we have.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Ting. Ting is a new mobile service that makes sense. It comes to us from Two Cows, the same folks that brought us Hover, hover.com. Move your domains from that other place. And it's all about bringing billing clarity, usability, and big savings to mobile phone users. Ting is actually built on the Sprint network, and it has a simple plan with honest, fair pricing that bills megabytes, minutes, and text messages separately. It's like a la carte. So, hey, Chad, I talk on the phone a lot. So give me 2,000. Thank you. I don't text a lot. So give me 100. Not zero. I want to text a little bit. And megabytes, you really think I'm online a lot. Okay, well, there you go. So you can pick and choose your plan. There's even business plans. If you use less, this is what's cool. If you use less than what's anticipated, you automatically get credited the difference at the end of the month. And if you use more, you just build the next tier. You're not penalized with like $50 or $60 because you went over by 2 minutes. That's so annoying when that happens. Ting.com has no premiums or penalties. They offer 4G Android phones through Sprint. Now, the top of the line phone on here that I remember was the Samsung Galaxy S2 4G. Now, you see it is $465, but then your monthly bill is probably a lot cheaper, and I pay close to $100 per month already.
I'm paying
months.
$130, I think. Yeah.
So look, you're going to save a ton of money if you join their service. The Ting website has very clear graphic snapshots of your usage by device, easy access to billing information, lots of control over features, and lots of help content. You can have business and families can have unlimited devices on an account and can manage and track usage on each device. And let's see here. There's just a couple of tweets that had been published here. So here's a tweet from a new customer from February 19th. My @Ting FTW phone bill was $22 last month. That's almost exactly $100 less than with AT&T. Wow. Another customer wrote into Ting discussion forum about his family of four. Actual usage across four phones last month was 2,387 minutes, 4,227 messages, so you can be really detailed with this, and 429.8 megabytes of data. My cost for all of that, including taxes and junk fees, was $244.21. On Ting, it would be $103 per month, over $140 in savings. He says it justifies breaking a contract and buying new devices. So, incredible. So, purchase a phone from Ting right now from the website. Prices range from $104 to $545. And some other models Sanyo, Zio for, they're all Android phones, 105, LG Optimus, Samsung Transform, Samsung Conquer, HTC Detail. Save money and better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Ting is a new mobile phone service that makes sense. Now, enter ting.com/android and save $50 on your device purchase. You could save $50 on that Samsung Galaxy S2 4G, which I really like. That's ting.com/android. I like that they have our little logo there.
Ting.com. That's very cool.
Wait, is it all about Android or Android? Am I... Okay, let's double check that. I don't want to get that wrong.
Don't do Android.
Okay, I have it on, sorry, the copy here. It's okay. Ting.com/allaboutandroid. Ting.com/allaboutandroid is the offer to save $50 on your device purchase. And we thank Ting for their support. That's just really cool. I love the a la carte services because... I don't know. I use a lot of data. I don't talk on the phone at all. I might actually put zero on my phone. I don't want to talk to anybody anyways. Just use Google Voice for that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to talk to you. If you need me, text me, email me, whatever. I could just put zero on the voice service. So thank you, Ting, for your support of All About Android.
Thank you, Ting.
All right. You know what? It's time for the arena.
To enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Oh, the arena. Oh.
Checkmate.
Oh!
What was that?
What? Happy 1 year to us. Happy 1 year to us. What the heck happened?
That was the... That was the old feedback drop.
That was the Android Gremlin.
One, yes.
We planted an Android Gremlin in the TriCaster.
That's hilarious.
It's so, very fitting. Everything's going wrong. The arena goes wrong.
I'm pretty sure that was in episode one, by the way.
So, I think it was too. Yeah, it's a great way to.
It's a callback.
Yeah. It's a callback. Okay. Yeah, that's
what it was very early, and then
Chad and I planned that before the show.
Oh, totally.
That's what it is.
Thanks
right,
for
Chad?
Letting us
that went on seamlessly. Seamless.
Absolutely.
All right. So last week we had a very interesting arena.
I'm sorry.
Well, before we go into the results,
okay.
I would like to give a mea culpa to not only to the audience, but also to Eileen. Maybe I was a little tired.
You bullied me.
Maybe I might have been a little more aggressive about the arena. Millie, we've cultivated this
I know.
Air of competition.
I was going to say, quite honestly, in the last couple of months, it's gotten really
amped
up.
I took it too personally.
And honestly, I blame Tech Ace because he's the one keeping track of all... No, I'm kidding, Tech Ace. I'm kidding. No, but so in the arena... I bashed Eileen's Draw Something app that she chose in the app, and I got to be honest. After the recording, I downloaded it, and I'm addicted to that game. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I thought it'd be funny to riv Eileen, but it's actually a great app, and now I'm addicted. And I actually changed my vote, and I voted for Draw Something.
So, my goodness.
I just want to get that out of the way before we look at the results. I'm not worried about who wins this week.
I'm not either.
You know, but because our friendships are
more important.
I'll give you a hug. 1 year. Oh,
it's
there we go.
More important than a stupid app.
Yeah. Let's get into the poll. Let's see how my app did.
Well, it doesn't matter because. Oh, wait a minute. What happened?
Okay. Look, this is probably the worst showing I've ever had in the arena, by the way.
That's pretty bad.
I got 15 votes.
Yeah, so let's start at the bottom. The CW got 3% of the votes.
Listen, maybe our audience isn't Gossip Girl fans.
No,
I understand.
They're not. Yeah. And I thought they weren't Draw Something fans either.
Slice gets
that's
third place with 12%.
Man, such a good app.
Yeah, that was one that you had suggested, but it had actually been done last week. My Smart Tools app was
really
winning
good.
That was the one I was going to vote for.
It was a really good app.
Popped out 40%, and then Draw Something with 46%.
Hold ahead.
And
like the thing was, Smart Tools was winning for a while, but then something changed.
Something happened that, wait, what is this app slappy in a comment?
I got mad on another podcast, and I talked about it and they rallied behind me and I was so upset. I was really so terribly upset. I thought everybody hated me, which is why they were voting against me. And I took it too personally, and I'm really sorry.
No, I
overshadowed Jason's great app.
Which is
great. It's okay.
Because your app was great, and I feel like I was too pissed off at Ron.
Yep.
And we're now friends again.
You know, it's okay because we all are playing that game and having a great time.
All of us. So. And we have to start playing now, too. Literally, I am addicted. I had to put it away this weekend because I'm like, all I'm doing is playing this game.
And I mentioned I got a stylus.
That's why you got the stylus.
Oh. I just want to draw my pictures just a little bit better. I mean,
a little more precise.
My finger drawings look really, really like third grade. And they're really bad. I am so terrible. But anyway, so yeah. So.
No, I've also I will only play on my tablet because the phone, it's embarrassing.
Oh, that's where
it's
I started, I remember I drew a whale and then I was trying to draw small fish and those fish look like blobs. Like, I don't know what the heck I was trying to draw.
It's really brought out the creativity in me. Like,
that's
I've had a fantastic, like, I had to draw Twilight. And so I drew a vampire. I drew a dude with fangs and blood, but I gave him a little bit of a pompadour and I made him sparkly.
Yes.
And then I drew a girl and I put a little heart. But then I put a rectangle around it and I put all these little heads and I wrote teen girls and I put it like
See, but that's the beauty of the app. People are getting really creative and they're starting to draw stories and you can write notes to people.
That's the one thing I've realized. I had to do the word shave. And what I did was I drew a dude with a face with rough, and I drew a razor. Then I erased that page. And then I had one line. I erased one line of the stubble. And I did like four frames. I'm like, I'm doing animation.
And because
by the end
good.
Of it, he was clean shaven. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's, I'll give you my bad. My bad. It's a great app. It's a great app. So you deserve
and
that win.
So you win this time, Eileen.
And OMG Pop just went to the bank, too.
Yes, it did. Good timing, yeah.
Zynga said, we don't want you to have the number one app. We want to own you, so we could technically have the number one app again.
And dang it, we're playing a Zynga game.
Which that says a lot more about Zynga than it does OMG Pop, to be honest. Yeah.
But congrats to OMG Pop, because they're rich.
Good job, they win.
All right. All right, so this week, the rules are wide open.
It's a grab bag?
It's a grab bag. Yep. We'll start with you, Ron.
All right, so this is another one of my patented Ron's practical, an app that gives actually serves a purpose that I've used. Very recently, I'm looking for a new place to live. And if you live in San Francisco or New York City or Chicago or any major metropolitan area or maybe not even a big major metropolitan area, it can be ruthless out there. It is brutal trying to find an apartment that is in the neighborhood you want, that is in the price range you want. And really what has happened to the rental market, at least in San Francisco and New York, and I apologize, I know other people live other places in San Francisco and New York. Those are the two cities that I call home, so it's hard for me to go against it. You live and die by Craigslist. And what happens is that you literally need to be on Craigslist 24/7. And the moment an ad goes up, you need to respond to it, call the realtor, call whoever's listening and get in there. I was going to open houses this whole weekend in San Francisco. I was showing up 15 minutes early to every open house and there was already three people there.
Oh my God, is it that competitive right now?
It's that bad right now, yeah.
Oh my God.
So I was like, so I started looking for it last week and I was like, you know, there's got to be an app for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I found was I found a website called PadMapper. And then as soon as I found the website, I'm like, okay, this has got what I want. I wonder if they have an app. Sure enough, they have a free Android app. It's free in the Google Play market. Look, I adjusted the Google Play market.
That's very good.
So it's free in Google Play. And basically what it is it's a very simple, and it's not like, this isn't a beautiful app. This isn't well designed, but it has so functional and saved my butt this weekend.
Wow.
Because basically what it is it ties into Google Maps, and it ties into your GPS, and it allows you to set your search filters, and you can ping Craigslist and see what listings show up. So here, I have it up here now. I can show you. Once I show everybody my security code.
And there we go.
We talked about this last week, Ron.
Someone's going to steal my phone now. All right, so you launch PadMapper. Please don't steal my phone. And its first instinct is to search your location. I had overridden it and because I wanted to go into San Francisco, so I'll do that again. So you can just jump to any area that you want. So I'm going to go to where I was looking in San Francisco to give you a better kind of view. Yeah. And so what happens is, so here you go, and this little froggy guy is where we are, technically, quote-unquote, where we are, where we're searching. Sorry, I get the angle right. And all these little purple markers are listings. And this is an example of how bad it is out there. These are all the listings in the lower eight. There's like four. Yeah, it's been bad. But you can zoom out. You can see more listings out there. When you tap on a marker, it gives you it basically pulls in the Craigslist ad.
Oh, cool.
And this isn't actually a very good example.
Neat.
Yeah, but let me zoom into another one. And you can see, for example, this one will pull up and it says, hey, great, flexible floor plan. And boom, right there, you can make it a favorite. You can write an email to the person who listed it in the ad.
Oh,
or if they listed a phone number, you can call them directly. So imagine me running around the streets of San Francisco, phone in hand, and I see this listing pop up. I can, boom, call the person immediately and say, hey, I'm on my way. And it's a way to jump on top of the listings as they come up. You can also set up favorites. You can work with the website if you're stuck at work, and you can adjust favorites and then pull, you know, and then be able to manage them that way. And this becomes a great way to be as aggressive as you need to be in order to find the apartment that you want. The search filters here, I can just pull that up quickly too as well in the demo. Again, like I said, it's not pretty. I'll be honest, it can definitely function outweighs over form here. It's the very basic, simple, old Android development kind of look. But you can adjust the number of bedrooms you want. You can adjust the number of bathrooms. You can adjust your rental, your range. You can say whether you want any sublets or no sublets if you're worried about pets. And it will adjust on the fly, ping Craigslist, and give you all the straight listings. Invaluable. So, and for free. I don't think and while I still haven't found a place to live yet, I know that I've got a little bit of an edge. So,
what's your deadline for finding a place?
April 1st. No. April.
I'm like, that's.
Yeah, no, I'm in a not so great situation right now.
Oh,
yeah,
shoot.
So. Yeah, that's all right. It happens.
Well,
it's all right.
You know, if you need a place to crash.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you very much. But but like mid-April, so I've got a lot of complexity, travel and stuff like that getting away. But that way, I mean, I've already got two leads in my neighborhood that I, you know, found through by using PadMapper. So it's great.
Yeah, it really is true with Craigslist. The more you can get an edge up on other people. Yeah. I remember months ago when I did that Craigslist notification app. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the benefit of apps like that, is that you can put in exactly what you're looking for and then find it immediately, because there are a number of other people that are doing the same thing. Any edge you can get.
And if you know, and if you use Craigslist a lot, you know that they refresh the database at like pretty much like every 15 minutes. Yeah. And so if you're using a browser, you hit refresh, and if you don't have any filters in there, you see, I've seen 75 listings go up in the 15-minute span from the last time I refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
And being able to filter down to your price range, and Craigslist website does allow in the rental listings to have some price filters as well as some neighborhood filters, which are helpful. But when you're out in the wild, I mean, I had that on my browser on my phone before I found this app, and Craigslist isn't mobile optimized. So I'm zooming in, I'm zooming out, sort of stuff. So it's just a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
PadMapper made it so much easier. So PadMapper is free if you're looking for a place to live. It's a great tool.
We were looking for a place, we actually used PadMapper on the web. I didn't use the Android app, but it's incredibly useful.
And like I said, it needs a polish. It does need a design polish. But again, the function of it totally outweighs the form. And it was totally usable. I never looked at it. I'm like, wait, how do I do this? Like, it just worked. It didn't look totally pretty. It's no smart tools, but it got the job done. So
cool. All right. Well, so that is PadMapper for Android. My app was recommended to me by Chris Michaels on Google+, and I thank him so much for the recommendation, because it totally addresses something that I've been trying to figure out over the last few weeks. I'm sure you've heard me talk in previous episodes about my daughter. She's 2 years old. She's just kind of getting to the point to where she can kind of use technology a little bit. So I'll give her, you know, like a phone with Talking Tomcat on it or something, and she'll have fun with it and have a good time. The problem is always that she gets on there and, you know, she doesn't always know exactly what she's pressing, and suddenly she's in your email and she's sending an email and she's sending a Twitter post, and she's only two, so it's all garbled and all this kind of stuff. And you're like, okay, all I really want is for you to have access to these things. I know, Ron, in a previous episode, featured a fan of the show's app that does something similar to this. The app that I'm featuring, though, is not this in particular. It just allows me to do it in a way that I really like. It's called SwitchMe Root Profile Manager. And we've also talked in the past about how tablets are shared devices a lot of times, and you don't always want to have the same layout for every person that uses your tablet. It's very different than from a phone, which is like your device. This actually allows you to do what you can do in Windows, where you can set up different profiles and have them log into different kind of versions of this. It is for root, so you have to be rooted in order to do this. And just a quick note at the very top of this review, run an Android backup of your device before you start using this. They recommend it when you launch the app the first time. Just do it. You might as well. It only takes 5 minutes. So what I'll show you here, I have it on my tablet, and I'll see if I can do this ergonomically and get it positioned here. Okay, so Switch Me is here. I also have it down in my kind of task bar down here. I'll launch it. And so this is what we are in right now. This is kind of my avatar. You can select an avatar. I can create all these different profiles down here that do different things. Right now it's showing me kind of quick specs on what this particular instance of CyanogenMod 9 has as far as, you know, total usage of space, applications, data, all that kind of stuff. And I have the ability to actually clone this down at the bottom if I want to make a quick copy of this and create another profile that's based on this as a source and maybe tweak it for another use or whatever.
Cool. So you don't have to go through every setting.
Right,
you can
exactly.
say, like, listen, I know I like this. This could be good for my wife. Clone it, make it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then allow her to tweak it so that the general settings are the same. So right now I'm in the JSON. This is my normal, you know, kind of tablet environment. Here's my page for Lucy when she's playing, you know, whatever, her talking games, but she would always get into my stuff. So this is perfect because what this allows me to do is go over to Lucy. That's my daughter. And it kind of gives me the details. And then down at the bottom, it says switch here, right? So I'll go ahead and hit switch. And we're going to wait because it's actually going to reboot into this profile. While it's talking, I can kind of give you a little bit of details here. During the some of the use cases that you can kind of do with this, if you're kind of thinking about how you can use this, you could make an overclocked version that's just tailored for gaming. So if you have a lot of gaming and stuff, you could
app is very flexible. Kind of
that's cool.
Set that up in advance so that you can boot right into your gaming mode, essentially. You could, if you're a developer, create sandboxes for testing things so that you can have your tablet in one profile and then switch over to your sandbox and test something over there if that works for you. Battery profile containing just the essentials. So you create a profile where you strip out, you know, anything like Facebook-y, Twitter, updating, all that kind of stuff. So it's just your basic essentials if you have a need for that. And then, of course, what I did, which is tailored for a specific need. In my case, my kid. So I've rebooted. It's a little dark. My apologies there. I won't. Yeah.
Is that one of the settings, the brightness?
Is it? It should be. And if it's not, I'm going to do this just to go in real quick because this is very dark. Let's see here. No, this is horrible. Yeah, it's not giving it to me. Oh, well, deal with it.
Demo fail.
Okay, so, so this is actually my installation. And on my Lucy profile, I made it so that the single page is nothing but the apps. I also have actually another app working here. I have a launcher called Nova Launcher on here, and it allows me to do things in my app drawer like hide apps completely from the app drawer. So pretty much all I have in the app drawer are the things that she would want to launch anyways. So what I've done in this profile is really strip it down so that for the most part, I'd say the chances of her getting into some place in this profile that I'm, you know, going to have to step in and help her out of are very limited compared to the other profile.
Make sure not to put the market on there too, right?
Right. No, well, and I did remove the market because you can kind of get to it in other places too if you really needed to.
I was going
to
say, that sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, so I'm sorry that it's a little dark here, like, but Jeff anyways, all I have to do is go back to Switch Me. I can go back over to Jason, switch over, and it'll do the switch automatically. It's really easy to do, and it actually took no time to get this set up once I had it installed. You know, you create a new profile or whatever, and it's basically creating a new instance of the ROM that you're running, and it was very quick. It was like in 2 minutes, it was booted into it, and I was setting it up. It was great. So it does allow you to do something called switch screen, which gives you a login screen at boot up, which is similar to
when
you boot into Windows and it gives you the pictures and you can select which one you want to boot into. You can do that, although I don't have it active here. Without the key, it's free. You get two profiles maximum, and there's no password protection. built into that. If you buy the key, it's $1.99, and that gives you any number of profiles. It also allows you to put password protection on those profiles. So if it's something that you're sharing with people that you would need to password protect against, you can. So it's just a really great app, and it does it very elegantly. It's Switch Me Root Profile Manager, free on the Android free on Google Play. God, I got to get used to that.
Play Store.
Play.
Yeah. Does that sound better?
Play Store.
What's in the black bar?
I don't even know. It still confuses me.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, if you have a tablet, this could be really, really good. The requirement is that you are rooted, but it's a fantastic app. It totally addresses something that I've been looking for a while. Thank you, Chris Michaels on Google Plus. You saved the day for me. So
I can use it.
That's it.
I can use it on my phone.
Google Play. I think that's just what you call it. Google Play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There we go.
So. All right, whatever.
All right.
we're still confused.
So that is that. Kevin, you are up next, and I will go ahead and try and do my best to show it off while you talk about it.
Okay. Mine is called Epistle, and it is pretty simple, almost too simple for me to describe, and that's it. No, it's a writing app, and if you've ever tried to take notes on your phone, sometimes you end up creating a draft email to yourself or something, or loading Google Docs, which can take a little while, or if you have an Office Suite installed, you end up kind of just creating a Word document to take a few notes. So what I love about Epistle is it's just straight text. It's a note-keeping system that syncs your notes with a folder in Dropbox. So if you can. You can create a new note. You can just start typing something, and the minute you hit save, if you have your desktop computer nearby, you'll see the Dropbox icon spin, and it's saved to Dropbox as a text file. And so you can edit it there, and it refreshes on your phone. Then when you're done, you can share. Of course, you can share the text out to email. You can share the text out to an SMS. You can save it to read it later if you wrote something really long. Apparently, you wrote something so long you don't even have time to read it right now. And then also it works the other way, where if you have a email or something else, in an app, or if you selected some text in your browser, you can share it over to Epistle. And it has a lot of other neat features. If anyone's a web writer or does any kind of web work, you can save notes. And if you write in Markdown, that kind of halfway between markup style, you can look at an HTML preview of your notes right there in Epistle. You can do all kinds of stuff. But basically at its heart, it's a note-keeping system, a text editing system that syncs to Dropbox. And so it has that kind of rub-off feeling of magic, especially for people like me who write stuff all the time. And if you get stuck somewhere with your phone or your tablet, you can just write, and it's all there without you having to think about it. So it's Epistle. It's free. It's free on the Android market, I believe, or it's very cheap. I'm sorry, I didn't look up the price.
I think it's free.
I think it's free. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think it's free. Okay. Sometimes I pay 99 cents for things and forget about them, but it's got great user reviews. I got recommended to it by someone who's a Markdown fan, but whatever you write, Epistle will save it for you and make it real easy.
So it just automatically syncs it as a text file to your Dropbox to find it later.
Yeah. And for some people, that's going to be like, so what? And for some people, they're going to be like, that's amazing.
Right.
For me, it's the latter. It's just great. It's just a great way to write things, and you don't have to go find them later.
Cool.
Rad. Awesome. Thank you. So that is Epistle.
Epistle.
And
By the way, Android 1.5 and up. So nice. It is not a – it's a very well-designed app. It's just minimal, but it works on everything.
That's good.
Cool. All right, Eileen.
Yeah.
Last week's winner.
I know. Well, probably.
Follow it up. Go.
I don't think I'm going to win this week. All right. Well, I'm going to show you Angry Birds in Space. And just kidding.
And
guys.
That would have been fine. It would have been okay.
Actually, the game does look really good. But
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I just haven't had time.
Because it adds in the space physics.
Exactly. Yeah, kudos to them. I think we've talked about it a lot on this network already. All right, but I do have kind of like an Angry Birds kind of clone. So whatever. But it has bombs. Well, I guess they have bombs too.
Is it Bomberman?
Well, it's kind of like a Bomberman. Anyways, this game is called Fragger, and it's free in the Android marketplace, and I'll show it to you. I'll launch it here. The music is a little suspect. I don't know. bom bom chicka bom bom. It's a little suggestive, but anyways,
which is odd considering the game.
It's odd considering that you've got grenades and what you're trying to do is just basically. I mean, the setup is so a la Angry Birds, right? I'll show you.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So literally, this is you, and you've got sort of the. You've got an arrow here. You have to place your finger on the screen, and you've got a little arrow, and it'll give you how hard you throw the grenade, how light you throw it. And essentially what you need to do is just see, and if you throw it too far, it gets out of the picture. So you need to kind of maybe re-strategize your throw. Oh, boom. There you go. You have, you know, X amount of bombs per levels. And let's see if I can kill
If you throw it in the right place, it takes care of both of them at once.
Yep, if you do. Oh, my Lord.
Or
it's not
you
gonna
die.
Work. Or
oh,
I
no.
might die. No, you don't really die.
That'd be cool if you can blow yourself
I know,
up.
Right? That'd be kind of cool. See, now I've done it again. I've already passed this level, but for whatever reason, I'm sucking. Anyways.
There you go.
I don't know. I think I got to get it in that slot right there.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know. But isn't this music weird?
Yeah, the
music
is.
I'm kind of like wondering why. It went anyways. Hey, you can watch your, you can review your solution, whatever. Pay up. I like the free. Just you can get the free. And then you know each level gets harder and harder and harder, and you know it just has wasted a lot of time for me. I don't know about you guys. It's just a simple game. So some of the other levels. I'm going to abort here. Let me get out of here and show you the menu. Some of the other levels are a little bit more challenging. Like you can earn extra bonus points if you, you know, shoot the bomb. I don't think I got this one. So if you shoot the bomb in here, you get extra bonus before killing the enemies here.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know. It just gives you a little few more levels.
Yeah, they've got to differentiate themselves from the Angry Birds
model. A little
bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's been successful for them.
Who doesn't like throwing grenades?
I mean, really, throwing grenades.
Especially after a really intense arena.
That's what I... There's Ron. I killed Ron. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
I know. We're getting really mean here. But anyways, it's just a simple game. There's tons and tons of levels. Actually, if you wanted to, you could pay up and open up all the levels. It's like $1.98 or whatever if you really were that desperate. But you could just... I'm sure you could figure it out. As you know, plow along. But it's a simple game. It's very Angry Birds-esque, but it's a different kind of... it's not cutesy birds. It's grenades and
feedback.
What's interesting about the paying for the unlocking the levels or whatever, going back to draw something, I totally paid for the app to get more colors.
Yeah, me too.
Like, when a game is good, I have no hesitation in pulling the trigger on buying, doing in-app purchases. That's just interesting.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's free in the... Play Store, Google Play Store, and it's called Fragger.
Don't confuse it with Frogger.
Frogger.
Yeah. You will be disappointed.
I think as you get into the other levels, it gets more exciting because there's. I'm looking at the app screenshots. I haven't gotten there yet, but there's like weird trees and
spooky
levels and crazy stuff. So I was just showing you all the boring stuff at the beginning. But anyways, if you're into that. Check it out.
Awesome. Cool. All right. So this is quite the diverse bunch of apps this week.
You guys have more helpful stuff this week.
But sometimes you just need to
Sometimes you need to decompress and blow some stuff up.
Exactly. Yeah, sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we have PadMapper, SwitchMe, Root Profile Manager, Epistle, and Fragger. You can vote for this week's app, your favorite app of this week, by going to bit.ly/53AAA poll. 53AAA poll. It's bit.ly/53AAA poll. And let us know what you think. Which is your favorite app of this week? Next week, we are actually, you're out.
I'm out. Yes, I am out. I'm going to be in Seattle and unable to Skype in at this time. So I'm sorry.
That's no excuse.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see Hot Snakes that night, so I'm not really that upset. So
okay.
I'm actually taking a day off. Shocking.
That's good.
That's okay.
That.
We all deserve
turn,
it. I'll be taking one off here soon. We have Nicole Lee joining us, actually the producer of Before You Buy.
Mm-hmm. Who's so always awesome.
She's always awesome on the show. And it's actually, we're going to do an all feedback episode next week. So
You can send us your feedback, and hopefully, you know, we can answer your question on the show. Send us an email at aaa@twit.tv and let us know what your question is, and we'll attempt to sound smart.
And it looks like your SwitchMe has got our early lead.
That's really handy.
It's handy, really... but it's limited if you're rooted.
It is limited if you're rooted.
Yeah, but you have to think about it as like the app that's...
It could be an app that makes you want to root.
Ooh, yeah. Good point. And also... even though you can't have access to it if it's just that good, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to use that, but now I can. Yay, I read my phone.
Yep, you can.
Hey, just next week I might have a quick review of this Samsung Galaxy S4G Blaze.
The Blaze.
That is the longest name ever. It's not. I'll tell you right now, it's not very blazy, but it's actually kind of cool. Cool. And then later, I don't know, Nicole, who's on the show next week, she gave me the Pantech Element tablet.
You have to wait till I'm back. If you want to review it next week, you can, but I want to stick it in a bucket of water.
Yeah,
and
this is the one that's supposed to be waterproof, or not waterproof, but...
Water resistant,
yeah.
You're going to take it in the bath, right?
Oh.
He wants me to do the review.
We should do an episode. We should do an episode in a hot tub.
Let's do an episode in a hot tub.
Oh, that'd be great. Hot tub Android time.
Hey, hand me that. Yeah. I want to take a look at that thing on Google Docs really quick.
I don't see how a water-resistant tablet is a good thing. I don't know. Especially there are holes for the head. Splash-proof for the kitchen. True. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Not for scuba diving.
Yes. Exactly.
It's just
You're not
weird.
Diving
actually,
with a
the game that I just reviewed, Fragger, I was going to show it on this. Tablet just because it's bigger, but it looks terrible on this tablet. I mean, the resolution's horrible. So I said, oh, I'd rather.
Well, actually, if I had PadMapper on there on Friday when it was pouring, or no, on Saturday when it was pouring
raining,
in San Francisco,
so maybe this might have been.
And I was huddling in alcoves looking on my phone.
The
that would
tablet be for rainy days.
There you go.
The Pantech Element.
Yep.
All right, on that is it for this week. Kevin Purdy, thank you so much for joining us yet again. We really appreciate having you back.
What?
We have to do the cake.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that.
We'll
hear from Kevin,
that on the outro. Yeah. Yeah. Kevin, so you've got CompleteAndroidGuide.com.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
And we did a total redesign of the site recently, so you can head to CompleteAndroidGuide.com, and it's a ebook that you can buy. And by the way, if you use the discount code AAA2012, a.k.a. you know, All About Android 2012, AAA 2012. It's 50% off this week.
Wow! Get it now
until this week.
Awesome.
And when you buy it, when I upgrade to Android 4.0 across the whole book, you'll get that upgrade for 99 cents. So if you buy it now, you don't have to worry. You know, the upgrade's gonna be really super cheap.
Awesome.
So CompleteAndroidGuide.com is also an Android app that's $1.99, and it's basically the book on your phone, so you can like kind of fix things while you're looking at it. And We're cranking up to Android 4.0 just like Sony, but better. Sony.
That's right, better. Awesome. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Yeah, that's great.
That's so
I'm totally
cool.
going to use that.
Me too.
That's a great deal. That's awesome. We really appreciate you joining us on the year anniversary. It was totally fitting having you back. So.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that FedEx cake.
We'll
drop it in media mail.
All right.
Okay, Ron.
Won't be stale at all. If you can find me at about.me/RonXO, and that's the links to all my Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all the fun stuff that I do in social networks, and by my day job, you can check out Graphly.com, which has got digital comics you can read on your Android devices and your Nook and Amazon Kindle, as well as if you're into comic books, check out ifanboy.com, a blog I run every day, day in and day out.
So. Radical.
We'll Except miss next you next Monday. Week.
I'll miss you guys too.
I am Eileen, and you can find me on Twitter at EileenTV or aboutme.com/EileenRose or gplus.to/EileenTV.
That's good stuff right there. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jason Howell or about.me/Jason Howell. And that is it for this week. Boom, we're lighting the candle on the cake. Send us a voicemail for the all feedback episode next week, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can also send us an email, drop a link to video in that for video mail, aaa@twit.tv. You can hit the show up on Twitter at Android Show. You can check out our show notes at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We will see you next week on another episode of All About Android.
Happy anniversary. 1 year.
Yay. Woo!
Blow out the candle.
Okay,
let's
get it,
right?
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
All right.